Today's scripture is going to be from Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is to give, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
When our family moved back from Kenya in 1996, the one thing that we really missed, first of all, we missed the people in the church and the work that we were doing. But after that, the one thing that we really missed truly were the animals. We just love the wildlife in Kenya. We live close to Nairobi National Park. It was about a 30-minute drive, and every couple of months we'd spend a day over there. It was so relaxing. It was so enjoyable just to drive our little Suzuki out there and to see all sorts of animals. We loved that part of our life there. When we came back here, you know, it was just a little hard to get used to. We had a friend who had lived in Kenya who had some relatives down around San Diego, and they said, you know, about the closest thing I've been able to find to what we experienced there is San Diego Wild Animal Park. You ought to go check it out. And so we did. We went down to San Diego Wild Animal Park, and we really liked it because it's this huge place where the animals aren't in little cages, but they're in these big fields, and there are hundreds and hundreds of acres, and there's a big monorail that went around it, and the people who drove the monorail seemed to be really knowledgeable about all sorts of animals, and they'd stop along the way, and they'd tell you about the different animals that you could see, and every time you went, it was different. It was like sort of going on safari in a way, and we could take our lunch and sit on the bench and overlook the waterhole, just like we used to kind of park down by the waterhole and watch the animals. We really enjoyed it. We loved it so much that we paid to join the San Diego Zoological Society that allowed us all the times we wanted to, as many times as we wanted to go to the San Diego Wild Animal Park. We could go to the zoo, but the zoo is a little depressing for us. We just kind of like the wild animal park. We like the wide open spaces. And then they started making some changes. We got this letter that they were going to be taking out the monorail. We thought the monorail, that's the best thing that they got going there. And they were going to put in roads. They were going to pave roads across some of these open areas. And they did. And then they got these trams, like they use at Disneyland to take you to the parking lot. And they put these folks driving these little trams. I didn't seem to know much about animals, but kind of just read a script as they drove you around. It was kind of like being on the Jungle Boat at Disneyland. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the Jungle Boat. I think it's just a cool, campy ride. I always enjoy the Jungle Boat, but not at the Wild Animal Park. And it was just like all these people coming in, and they're bringing in hot air balloons, and the crowds are growing. And I'm sure they were making a whole lot more money, but it just wasn't the same. And when it came time to pay our next year's membership fees, we just threw the envelope in the garbage, and we haven't been back. We are no longer members of the San Diego Zoological Society. Liam and Michael had been meeting for breakfast for about 5 months. They met in a small group at church, and they were pretty much the same age, both married, had three kids, two girls and a boy, two boys and a girl, and they just kind of hit it off, and they were just going to have breakfast one time. But they enjoyed it so much, they met almost every Monday morning for breakfast before they went to work, and they talked about family, and they talked about sports, and they were college football fanatics, and their teams happened to be rivals in the same division. And so they got along really well. They developed quite a friendship. But over the last 4 or 5 weeks, Michael noticed Liam's demeanor was just a little bit different when they met in their groups and when he saw him at church. But he was not ready for what Liam happened to tell him this morning at breakfast. Liam hadn't even touched his eggs, just kind of sitting there, and he finally just looked up to his friend Michael, and he said, I'm not sure how to start this other than just to say Lana and I are going to quit our membership at the church. And it was kind of quiet for a while. And Michael looked at him and said, well, do you mind if I ask why? He said, well, yeah, you know, when we started going there, we were really into the Bible studies, and Robert, the preacher, was pretty good, but then, you know, just lately, the lessons haven't been all that inspiring. They just don't seem to be very deep. I don't feel like we're getting spiritually fed, and we come on a Sunday morning, and it's like it's okay, and the worship's all right, but you know, we go home, and we feel like nothing else has really happened to us. It just seems like kind of a waste of time. And then, have you not noticed? There's a lot of good folks in the church, but there's a bunch of hypocrites. That Richard, everybody thought he was one of the pillars of the church. It turns out he's been cheating on his wife for 2 years. And Bill at the kids' basketball game the other day, he just lost his temper and went off. What kind of Christian witness is that? And you know, Lana's dad was sick in the hospital, she told the elders about it, and none of them even went to see her dad. And Michael's thinking, well, Dad lives 75 miles away, and I'm pretty sure they called him and prayed with him, but he thought this isn't the time to say anything, and he just let Liam go on. Liam said, you know, don't get me wrong, you and Melinda, you're great, your kids, you're a class act, but I just gotta ask you, don't you notice all this stuff at church? Don't you see this? How can you be so involved? How can you be so supportive of the church? Why are you so enthusiastic? And then Liam said something that really probably revealed more than he thought it would at the time. He just said, you know, Michael, we just seem to be two different kinds of church members. Why do you suppose that is? Why do you suppose that is? It's a good question. Church member. The term church member kind of has a negative connotation to me. I'm not saying it should have a negative connotation, but sometimes it's had a kind of a negative connotation to me because of this. I hear it used like, well, I'm a church member. I'm a card-carrying, dues-paying church member. Like, you know, that's what it's talking about, rather than I'm an intimately connected part of the body of Christ who's devoted to my brothers and sisters in the local church. Sometimes it's just kind of used in almost a secular way about being a member of something. Kind of like, I used to be a member of the San Diego Zoological Society. You know, kind of along that sort of line. And I think sometimes people look at the church that way. I'm a member of the AARP. I'm a proud member of the AARP. I'm a valued member, the card tells me. And I got into the AARP. It takes two things. It takes age, and then it takes $12 a year. And I send in my $12 a year, and what do I get for being a member of the AARP? I think there's a whole lot more that I really could get that I'm not getting yet, but one thing I get 15% off, like, everywhere. And I mean, I'm going to have enough by March just going to breakfast at Denny's to pay for my $12. So I think being a member of the AARP is a very, very good thing to do. And I will happily continue to be a member. Now, what do I do for the AARP? Well, I send them $12 a year. That's what I do for them. And honestly, if they were ever to like write me a letter and say, hey, we just really appreciate you as a member, we'd like you to do such and such for us, I'd just say, well, sorry about that. I'm in the AARP because I got 15% off at Denny's, and I'm not really looking to, you know, give you a whole lot of my time and energy or any more of my money than I have to. So, you know, really, just kind of back off. Unfortunately, there are people in the world who I think look at the church that way. Yeah, the church is good, and the church should, you know, I like to go, I want to get what I want, I want the right kind of sermon, I want the right kind of worship. If they don't have this going on, or if they have that, that's great. If they got some little perks or amenities, that's fine, I'll be glad to do that. But if they don't meet my expectations, why should I stay? Why not go someplace else? Well, what do I do for the church? Well, I attend a lot of the morning meetings. And hey, I'm there to put in my dues. You know, I've got that covered. I put in a good healthy amount. Beyond that, just as soon you not ask me to do much. That's just kind of where I am. And I think maybe one of the reasons I've had sort of the negative reaction to the term church members, because I've heard it used sometimes by people who kind of mean that by church member, which isn't at all what the scriptures mean when they use the word. I am a church member. I read this little book last year. You can read this book in probably about an hour. It's by Tom Rainer. And as I read it, it was a book that really encouraged me and it challenged me and it reminded me, biblically speaking, what it means to be a church member. Biblically, what does it mean? Romans 12 that Matthew just read and 1 Corinthians 12, which I'll be reading to you in just a moment, uses this word, at least some translations, member over and over again, that we are a member of the body. We are a member of the church. And the word in these texts, the word literally means a limb of the body. That's what the word literally means. To say I am a church member is to say I am a limb of the body, which is the church. I am a limb of the living spiritual body of Jesus Christ. And think about what that means. We know what the scriptures say about the body. Christ is the head of the church. We know the metaphor. He's the head. We're members of the body. It means we're connected to one another. It means that we're ultimately, of course, connected to Jesus Christ. Our purpose as the body of which we are living members, our purpose is to carry out the ministry of Jesus Christ as his body on this earth, to do the work of Jesus, to build up the church, to reach out to the world, to be the body of Christ on this earth. I'm a member. I am a church member placed by God in the body of Christ to serve, to care for other people, to learn, to grow, to build up the body, to share the good news with the lost, to pray for the body of Christ locally and universally, to pray for God's power to be at work in the church and to bring about the salvation of souls. I am a church member, which means my heart and my life are in the hands of my God, whom I serve. What do I do as a church member? I offer up my body. I'm speaking for all of us. We offer up our bodies as living sacrifices to God, to the glory of God. We do whatever God enables us to do, whatever God gives us to do, whatever call we have from God to serve Him to His glory, by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am a church member. A member of the body of Jesus Christ. I'd like for us, as a body, as a church, to explore this truth together scripturally over the next couple of weeks. I hope that as we do, we'll be encouraged. That we'll, at times, where necessary, each of us individually at our own place, where we will be convicted, if need be. But we'll also be challenged. And that we'll have a sense of renewal about what it really means to be connected to one another and to be under the headship of Jesus Christ and to be a limb in the very body of Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing it means to be a member of the body of Christ, the first thing that is expected is that we are functioning members. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through verse 27. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that wouldn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, just as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our presentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually, members of it. Membership means we are all necessary parts of the whole. Paul says you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Think what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. Now, this is a principle that can be applied in a couple of ways. It can be applied universally, as Paul does at the beginning of this passage, Jew or Greek, slave or free, all across the land, there is one body. But Paul writes to a particular local congregation, the church at Corinth, and as he applies these principles in chapters 13 and 14, he applies them very specifically to this church, as in their setting, at that moment, being the body of Christ, at least there and then in that location. And so, as we look at this, one of the ways that we can look at it is that we, here and now, we who are in this room, we who have come together to worship the Lord today, and our brothers and sisters, others who may be away from us traveling or at home for one reason or another, from illness or whatever this morning, we are the living body of Jesus Christ here, now, in this place, in this community, serving together as a functioning body of Jesus Christ, and each of us is a limb in that body. That's who we are. Each of us is a necessary part. Paul speaks of all sorts of limbs and members, doesn't he? You read through that, it's his eyes and ears and hands and feet. And I think I can speak for all of us here. I kind of like all the members of my body. I don't want to lose any of the members of my body. I don't even want to lose my appendix. I know some of you have, and I'm sorry about that. But, you know, I don't want to lose any members of my body. I don't want anybody taking any of my members away. We are all necessary parts of the same body. We're in this together, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So being a member that belongs to one another, that's connected to the body, parts, necessary parts of a whole, it follows that membership means that we're different, but that we still work together. That there's a diversity in the body of Christ, akin to the diversity in the members of our own physical bodies, and that diversity is the strength of the body. But it follows that each limb, each member of the body must do its part, or the potential of the body itself is impaired. That's pretty obvious where our own bodies are concerned. If my hand refuses to do its part, I am not going to be able to turn over my outline to the last page. I've got one more page on the back side of this paper. And if my hand refuses to do its part, I'm not going to get to turn that page. And you know what that means? That means you may be here a very, very long time as we just wait. Now I may be able to figure out a way to do it with my elbow or my chin, you know, in kind of a strange way and get that thing folded. I was going to say, don't worry, Rod will come up and turn it if I wait too long. But he's homesick today, so Rod's not here to rescue you all from my uncooperative hand. but my hand would never do that. Don't worry. See, it's ready. It's ready. My hand would never do that. Why? Because it's my hand. It's a part of my body. It's a limb of my body. My hand isn't going to go on strike. My hand isn't going to say, hey, don't you ask me to turn that paper. You better find somebody else to do it. It doesn't do that because it's a part of the body. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It's a part. It's connected to my arm. We're all one here. The brain is telling us all what to do. And our members just do what they do because that's what they were created to do. That's what my hand, in this at least example, is created to do. My hand would never refuse. It doesn't refuse to do its part. Of course not. Each of us is essential. And there's no room for kind of a false humility. You know, Paul says in verse 16, if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. I don't know, maybe he's thinking about people saying, well, you know, I can't do that. I'm not very important. I'm not like those people over there. I don't have those gifts. I can't achieve that. Paul says, come on. You're a member of the body. You're a limb in the body of Christ. There's no room for this, oh, no, I just can't do anything. I just can't contribute anything. And then Paul says there's no room for arrogance in the body because the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Not at all. There's no one here. As our brother said about the table, there's not greater and lesser as we gather around the table. We all come in Christ. And it's the same thing in the body of Christ. There aren't greater or lesser members. We're a part of this together. We have mutual respect and there is mutual value. One of the things I really enjoy seeing, something I just really love to kind of sit back and watch sometimes, although I like doing it too, but I like to sit back and watch it sometimes, is just watch the body of Christ at work. It's the most amazing thing when a group of people come together in the name of Jesus Christ and just do something together, each of them using their talents. And I've talked about this before and used illustrations like this, but it's so true. This last, was it Thursday? Is that MOPS Day? Thursday, I think, right? Yeah, Thursday. It was MOPS meeting, Mothers of Preschoolers, and for about a period of 3.5 hours down here, there are a group of our sisters who are working together, and they do a variety of different things. They're setting up, they're serving food, they're cleaning up, they're putting things away, they're taking care of kids, they're greeting the mothers, there's all sorts of things. They're doing the devotional, they're leading the craft. There's a variety of things that these women do, and it's awesome to watch them work together. Dedicated sisters, serving women from our community, blessing their lives, inviting them to come and to worship with us, being supportive of their work as mothers within those homes to raise up those children and devoted to them. Who's the most important woman at MOPS? Well, if you got a crying baby who needs the diaper change, I'll tell you who the most important mother is at MOPS. It's the sister that's going to take care of that little baby. There's no hierarchy in this group. You know, there's no pecking order. They're all working together. They're each parts and limbs of the body, and they do what they do. And it's a beautiful thing when it comes together. And that's how it is in the church. And we experience this over and over again. It's one of the most wonderful things about being a part of the body of Christ. It applies to so much of what we do. When I think about working around the building, work parties that we've had, building maintenance, the way that people come together, those people who are involved in caring for the shut-ins or taking communion, many of you who are out visiting during the week and being supportive of those who are looking and blessed by those kinds of visits. The folks who are involved in our small groups, the people that are hosting the facilitators, the people that are going to be bringing refreshments, those of you who are going to be attending and inviting your friends to come. It's just amazing to see everybody coming together and working together. The people who've led us in worship today, those who have been teaching our children, our ladies committee that does 1,001 things that bless us all, people who work in finances, and our elders and our deacons, and the people who work in all sorts of different ministries, the sound booth and the chili cook-off and everything that's coming up. There are people involved, people who've signed up to do this or that. It all comes together, and the body of Christ is just working together. The dinner dudes, the supper sisters, the friends fellowship and firearms safety group, everybody that gets together during the week and works together and reaches out and tries to be a blessing to the church and then reach out to the community. It's awesome. It's all being done as limbs, all these different limbs and members and parts of the body of Christ working as one. And it is a reminder of the one thing, just really the one point that I have today. I just really have one point, and it's this. Church members are functioning members. A church member, by definition, is someone who is working or serving according to the capacity that's been given to them by God. How do you remain in the AARP? Every January, you send them $12. If you want a little bit of a break, you send 2 years at a time. I'm not one of those people. I may not live till next year. They're not going to get any more money from me than my $12 a year. I know I could save a little if I did 3 years, you know, and do it for 32, but no, it's $12 a year. That's how I remain a member of AARP. In good standing, I might add. How do you remain a biblical member of the church, of the body of Christ? A biblical member. You give abundantly. You serve without hesitation. You function within the body as God has gifted you to serve, and you glorify God in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's how we remain members in the body of Christ. That's what members in the body of Christ. Now, there's another pathway you can take. For some people, it's just a matter of having your name on a church roll. There are CEO Christians, right? You know about CEO Christians? Christmas and Easter only, okay, the CEO Christian. I'm sorry, that's just a little joke there to throw in. But you know, I can show up every once in a while and never do anything if I want to. I can do that. That's not biblical membership. Biblical membership is functioning membership. That's just the way that it is. The concept of an inactive church member is an oxymoron. Church members are by definition active and functioning and serving in the capacity in which they have been called and created. You know, it's like saying to the Lord, well, yeah, I know I could be a hand in this body. You know I could do something here. I could flip sermon outlines every once in a while, you know, if the preacher's hand got tired. But, you know, just don't ask me to do anything. Or, yeah, I could probably get involved in that ministry, or I could visit this person, or maybe I could be trained to become a teacher, but you know, just kind of back off. You know, I just want to be able to come to church and chill, and I don't really want people to look to me and expect something out of me. That just makes no sense. I'm a church member. I'm a church member. I'm a limb of the body of Christ. I'm a part of the body of Christ, saved by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus. I've been baptized into the body of Jesus Christ, for by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. I'm a church member. Of course, I want to serve. Liam asked Michael, why are we different church members? Why are we different? I don't know Liam and Michael. I can't answer for them. But I got to thinking about that. Why is that? Why does that sometimes happen? And I don't know that I have a definitive answer for that, but I think sometimes people become Christians. They hear the gospel. They want salvation. They want forgiveness. They're baptized into Christ. But they're never really taught or led into what it means to make that commitment to Jesus Christ as their Lord. As Jesus said in his own words, to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. I think some people come to Christ, but they never were really taught that or trained in that or discipled to know what it means to really be a part of the body of Christ. And maybe some folks did, but then something happened along the way that kind of caused them to step back. You know, maybe you got tired, or maybe a person gets discouraged, or they have a friend or a situation in their life that pulls them in a different direction, and they just kind of lose their connection. Sometimes it's sin. Sometimes we get caught up in some sin in our life, and it causes us to make a break with our activity and our support of the church and our involvement in ministry. Sometimes we go through a set of circumstances where maybe we get hurt, or maybe somebody disappoints us, and it just knocks out our zeal and our fire. And we focus on that disappointment rather than focusing I'm the God who placed us in the body of Christ and the Lord who died for us that we might become part of His body. But that happens to us sometimes. It's just, it's true. But today, if that's been true for you, we're making a different commitment. We're making a different commitment. We're going in a different direction. And if you've been struggling with your commitment to Christ and to the body of Christ, you have an opportunity today to begin a rededication of that. Or all of us who are here, all of us, if you feel totally dedicated as a member of the body of Christ, today is an opportunity for you, along with all of us as brothers and sisters, to renew that, to state that, to say, yes, I am a church member. I am a member of the body of Christ, and I long to serve God, and I long to be a part of the body of Christ. That's the highest calling. Tell me of a higher calling in this world than to be connected to Jesus Christ and the living body of Christ. Tell me a greater life of purpose than serving God and bringing Him honor in the church. This is the greatest thing. This is the greatest commitment we can make. This is the most fulfilling thing to do in life. To be a church member. When that means I am connected to my Savior Jesus Christ. And I serve with the power that the Spirit gives me to bring honor and glory to my God and to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a life beyond elders. Here's some words I put together. I'm going to ask you to read them with me. Now, this is not a trick. I'm not going to say, okay, now look what you said. No, no, no. I want you to read them with me so you can hear them. Whether or not you want to make these words your words, I'll give you a moment. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands or standing up or anything like this. There's nothing like that going on today. But I am going to ask you to consider prayerfully if this really does state what is in your heart and in your commitment to the Lord and to the body of Christ. So, whether or not you will commit, would you please just read it with me so we can all kind of hear it together. Let's just read this together. Because I am a member of the body of Christ, I must be a functioning member, whether I am an eye, an ear, or a hand. As a functioning member, I will give. I will serve. I will share my faith. I will study. I will seek to be a blessing to others. I will do what God enables me to do. For we are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Let's pray together. Father, as we, your people, come before you today, it is with thanksgiving. It is with a heart filled with gratitude that through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the sending out of your Holy Spirit that you have created us to be the body of Christ on this earth. We're overwhelmed at your love and mercy toward us. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins that are ours by the blood of Jesus. We thank you for bringing us into this body. Father, we've been baptized into this body through the Spirit, and we are connected to one another and to you and to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is truly the head of this body and the one who commands and directs us. God, we long to worship you. We long to serve you. We long to be faithful to you as members, as limbs of this body and of the body of Jesus Christ. And Father, as we think about these words, as we think what it means to be a functioning member, to be a servant, to be doing whatever it is we can do, at whatever our age is, Father, whatever our opportunity is, we're individuals. You know our situations. You know what we can do. You know what you've gifted us to do, Father. We can't make commitments for others. We can't do work other people have been entrusted or gifted to do. Father, we can simply respond to what you've done in our lives. And right now, Father, as we take a moment of silence, I just want to ask each of us, including myself, to consider these words and to determine in my own heart, Father, if I want to say to you, Father, I am a church member, help me to serve you faithfully. And Father, at this moment, let each of us take our moment with you to determine that for ourselves. Father, what an amazing privilege it is to be the body of Christ. To be the body of Christ. Father, all we want to do is to serve you, to do all we can to build up this particular body, to be a part of the body universal as well, Father, in our faithfulness. But also, Father, to serve, to do all that we can to reach out to others who need to hear the good news of your salvation as well. Bless us as a church family. Bless us as the body of Christ. Bless each of us as members, Father, to be faithful, to be bold, to be effective through your power. We look to you. We look to the Holy Spirit for his power in us. And dear God, we give you the glory in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus Christ, the head of his body, the church. Amen. I have such a different view of saying this. I'm a church member. By the grace of God, by the blood of Christ, I am a church member, a member of the very body of Jesus Christ. And nothing can shake that commitment in us. May God bless us to be faithful to Him as a church. Continue to look at other ways that we are the body of Christ and members of it. If there are any brothers or sisters today who need encouragement or you need to make some changes in your life, if we can pray for you, if we can assist you, if we can be here for you to encourage you, we are. And if among us today there's someone who is ready to make that commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord, you're ready to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him, then by all means come and in one spirit be baptized into the one body, the body of Christ. Find the forgiveness of sins and begin to serve your Lord today. May God be glorified through His church here, through the living body of Christ. Let's stand together as we sing.